Barbara McVeigh. We got big things to talk about here on Take Back, and we have an agenda. As our planet faces global climate change, melting polar ice caps, and ocean acidification, we like to remain positive. There's hope. We're still alive. Here at Take Back, we try to get deep into understanding these issues and ask big questions about what does it mean to be human, and where are we going wrong? Here on Take Back, we have thinkers, poets, writers, educators, musicians, environmentalists, and risk takers help us get it right and navigate this crazy journey called life and ask, what has American culture become? Maybe we'll get inspired to make some big changes and look at who we have been and why. So let's just start off with American culture. You know, one of the things that we can really tap into and ask ourselves is, who are we as Americans? And one of the things we have here in Marin County is an incredible community of Latinos. And today, I am so happy to bring to you information and share with you the Latino Film Festival, which is coming to Marin County for the consecutive year in Marin County here. There's a festival coming up this weekend that's showcasing work of emerging and established filmmakers from the United States, Latin America, Spain, and Portugal. And it's a celebration of the latest work coming out of 20 countries with bonds that we share. So we have with us today by phone from the Community Media Center of Marin, Alejandro Palacios, and he's a coordinator of the Latin Film Festival. Alejandro, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, Hi, Barbara. How are you?
I'm good.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, great. Tell us, what's going on with the Latino Film Festival this year, and how do people get involved?
Yes, of course. And first of all, thank you so much for having me on the show. The Latino Film Festival in Marin starts today. We start at 7 p.m. with a selection of short films. These are three short films from Mexico, one from Spain, and three from the U.S. These are about like 10, 11 minute short films. And then tomorrow we have a documentary and another short film. And this documentary is called The Third Root, which is a documentary that where a musician explores the roots of Son Jarocho, which is, for those of you who are not familiar with this kind of music, it's a type of son that is played in a very specific area in Veracruz, in Mexico. But the funny thing is that this same rhythm appears all over Latin America, and it has roots from all over the world. So it's a very interesting documentary. It shows a lot of connections that you wouldn't normally realize until you see it explained by a musician. And also after the documentary, we have El Tucán, which is a short film about a group of musicians that also play Son Jarocho in Veracruz. And it's a group of older people, so they're starting to face, you know, the changes in their city, the changes in the traditions. So it explains basically their struggles and sort of like, you know, where, how they find inspiration again to keep the music going. And then on Friday, the last film that we were going to have in San Rafael is Maracame's Dream. This is a beautiful film about a parent and a son. They're both Huicholes, and the dad is a shaman that has this, he wants to pass it all along his kid Nieri. He wants him to be the next shaman, and there's a whole dream that he wants to fulfill for him. So what Nieri wants, actually, he wants to become a rock band musician and tour Mexico and the world. And during the movie, we realize that he actually experienced a little bit of both. And the goal of the movie is basically show you what his journey is. So those are the three films. They're all free. They're all starting at 7 p.m. This Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And you can reserve your tickets by going to latinofilmfestival.splashdat.com. Or if you look us up on Facebook, you're going to see the event there as well, Barbara.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, it really sounds like an incredible lineup of sharing rich culture, spirituality, music, voices of people maybe we often don't get to hear. And especially in Marin County, which has such a rich Latino community. I mean, what an opportunity to really, for those who don't understand the Latino culture, Mexican culture, and others, to learn more about it in such a celebratory way, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, the like you said, the festival takes place in San Francisco, Palo Alto, Berkeley, Oakland, and we're excited to have it for a second year in San Rafael. We know not a lot of people in our community get a chance to, you know, move to the city or even the East Bay. So I think it's a great opportunity for a lot of people to catch these films that, you know, wouldn't normally appear in the theaters or, you know, unless you go to very specific venues. So it's an exciting opportunity for us to share these films with the community in Marin.
So tell me again how one can get involved with the tickets, where you find the tickets, what's the URL?
Yes. If you go to latinofilmfestival.splashdat.com, you can RSVP your tickets there. And I don't think I mentioned this, but the screenings will be at Pickleweed Park at the Albert J. Borrow Community Center.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Alejandro. I know that you're really involved with so many of the Latino events here in Marin County, and you've been holding a great space at CMCM Community Media Center of Marin, telling stories.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you so much for having us, and also thank you for providing a platform to share this kind of content and again connect with the Latino community.
And I hope you can come back and share with us more at another time, other events that are happening.
I would love that.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much, Barbara.
Okay, thank you, Alejandro. Have a great day.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, so I hope you got that. That's a free event this upcoming weekend. It actually starts Wednesday night, the Latino Film Festival. And speaking of music, wow, I am so excited to introduce to you our guest in studio, Randall Sequoia of the Dream Farmers. He's based in the wine country area of California, up in Sebastopol, right, Randall?
Yes, that's correct.
Fantastic. And your band is called the Dream Farmers. I want to hear more about that. And we had gotten connected through the Jimmy Carter Jamboree idea. It was a concert that was scheduled for next week that got canceled because of safety concerns, which I'm sad to hear, but we're trying to make a negative thing into a good thing right here, and we want to talk to you about your music and your life philosophy, because I think you've got some good things to say.
What do you want to know?
I want to know it all. Tell me about your band, the Dream Farmers. How long have you guys been together, and what's the idea behind your band?
Well, the idea behind the band is to express ourselves and hopefully, well, maybe I can put it in perspective by what got me into music. When I was a young whippersnapper, about 6th, 7th grade, being a bit precocious and thinking, now how in the world can we have more love in the world and less hate, and what's with this crazy war stuff, and this has all got to go away. And I assumed it would go away soon, and the Beatles came on the scene, and every other song was love, love, love. And also I saw that they had this huge cultural power as well, and I said, well, that's a good modality for having some cultural change, enjoying yourself and making music. So it's Dream Farmers is a little bit modeled on the basic idea of using art and culture and media to, you know, have fun, express yourself, and hopefully at some point, it's a bit of a dream, but you can have some good effects with your art.
And we need dreams. We
dream
need to
farmers.
Create dreams. And
so cultivate, right?
Cultivate.
Grow
nice.
Your soul. Those are all album titles. I'm throwing out all the album titles. Cultivate, Grow Your Soul.
Are those your album titles?
No Breath Twice.
Really?
Yeah, Be Here Now. There's the bazillions of them. And the last two that I brought in.
I have to say, you brought in a stack of CDs.
14 CDs of original material since the early days.
And what are those early days? Those were what years are you talking about?
Oh, gee. Well, I mean, after I pretty much when I moved from the farm, I was originally born on the farm. I was already doing music before, and I had to kind of pick between professional cowboy and rock and roller, and I picked rock and roller and moved to Sonoma County and got pretty heavily into it, you know, at Sonoma State Music Department, meeting people, teaching myself, meeting a lot of my old original heroes. You know, I was lucky enough to be, old enough to have got to meet a lot of, you know, people like, you know, Junior Wells and the Innovators and I could do a lot of name dropping, but I won't, but I was just lucky. And so that's kind of started it. And then just meeting people and learning as you go along, learning on the way. And I became a school teacher and combined doing music professionally and semi-professionally with teaching school. So those two things, education and culture and music, to me seem like almost the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where that was at.
Well, you think of the power the musicians had in the day, right? In the,
right.
We're approaching the end of the festivities of the 50th anniversary of the Summer of Love, which
right.
is Sunday, which is also the kickoff of the Jimmy Carter celebrations this next week. But the musicians were really the ones who helped shape the culture and the messaging and the hope and the inspiration and the dream that we were just describing. I mean, the power of musicians is quite amazing, I think. And I wonder if...
It takes a time and a long time, you know, and human life is very short. But within your life, you can become a little bit like cynical or pessimistic. But if you think of the difference between, you know, where I came from, and if your sideburns were a quarter inch too long, you could be, you know, attacked. And what people fell for in terms of imperialism, and not much has changed that so much materialistically. But you see that now that, you know, sexual gender roles and women especially have made great advances, and self-expression, different culture, food, so many fantastic things. The strides have really, really been made. If you just reflect that what can happen in a short, you know, few decades, and then project forward to another few decades, maybe we can see, you know, some really wonderful caring for Earth and transportation needs and people before profit and those kinds of things. So we have, there's a lot to be optimistic about, I think.
I think so too. And you brought some music. I was wondering, maybe we can play some music here.
Yeah, that's a cool idea.
Yeah, and we've got a few different tracks here. And this one, I think, we have many. I mean, I have to say, we've got a stack of CDs here, and we have a limited amount of time.
Right, of course, you know, I wanted to go through the entire history and pick things according to subjects that we're talking about and be all very tricky, but
yeah.
I know you have limited space, so I just went directly to the latest CD. It's called So What, S-O-W, So
That's
What, the
nice.
Dream Farmer, So What, and I just picked kind of three tunes that would be easy for you to place on, three in a row. These actually are mostly instrumental, but a lot of tunes are lyrical and have character stories and you know, really literate reasons, narratives to exist. But the three we're going to hear are mostly instrumental, but you'll get a good vibe for how lucky I am to have my band.
Oh, I want to hear it more. Okay, so we're going to listen to Best Kept Secret, and then we'll be back in just a few minutes. We're listening to Randall. Oh my goodness, Randall.
Sequeira, go ahead. Just go ahead and say Sequeira. So
Sequeira.
Here's how. Okay, the Latin. So I'm 100% Azorean Portuguese.
Oh,
so when
wow.
when I'm you know, in Portugal or Brazil, it's like with a heart, Cicada. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when I'm in Latin America, everybody wants to do the roll R, Sequeira. And around here, everyone just says Sequeira. And there are a lot of Sequeiras in Marin County. So you better learn how to say that.
Better say that. I'm going to get it right before the end of the show, and you'll keep me honest, right?
Nah. I don't think so.
Let's hear some music, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Thank you.
That feel good?
That felt really good.
Your system likes that.
I have been running around today, and you know, one of the things I love about this little space here, the radio station, is I get to walk into a room, lock the door, lock out the outside world, come into this padded room.
Oh, the rubber room.
The rubber Barbara room. Goes to That's rubber where room. We are, and act sane. I think this is where sanity is, actually, in this little room, and we're trying to share it with the world, and you're here with me doing that, right? Okay, I'm chilled out now.
Good,
I'm
feel
ready.
Good.
I'm good. I'm human again. You just made me human with that
music.
Well,
the next one will make you dance, so that'll be a good balance.
Oh. And dancing and music, the universal language music, right?
Dancing and music together are meant to be together. And that's what cracks me up is like, you know, people are always talking about the money aspect and the fame aspect and the, you know, all the supposedly glamorous aspect, which really don't exist anymore or not much. And, when you think about the origins of music and culture and like, you know, it had to do with birth, death, the seasons, harvest, news, celebration, the weather, so many important things were with music when the origins and gestation of music. And I'm fine with that being where it's at. I mean, it gives depth to your art if those things are somehow entwined in your creation. So right. I like to keep that in mind.
And you're doing this oftentimes without pay. I mean, as a musician, right? We were talking. I mean, you get paid here and there, but
We do some pretty good gigs. I mean, we make some money sometimes. So that's, you know, we're lucky. We're in demand. We know how to play to an audience, and you know, we live in the wine country, so there are wineries who have money. There are nice clubs or some festivals, and we sometimes do a little traveling too.
Yeah.
Like I do some gigs in Mexico where I get paid pretty well.
Okay.
So, but you're. It's true enough that a lot of times there's not enough money, and a lot of times that's not the main reason for doing it.
Yeah, and so, the only reason I brought that in is not really to bring up the whole issue of money, is that you're doing this from a very different place. It's really about the love of doing it. I mean, getting paid is a respectable thing, but I mean, you're so into your art and to sharing these vibes,
well,
as you call them.
People kind of build themselves like, and you kind of make yourself an archetypal model of yourself, and it becomes ingrained in you, whether you're a carpenter or a sculptor or a musician or a nurse or a doctor, and you have a medical mindset if you're a doctor or a musical mindset. And by this time in my life, it just feels like, you know, second nature. Like the other day I was watching some, you know, horribly depressing news, and I walked from my house out to my studio, and I picked up a guitar, and I said, okay, you're not going to let the emotion be what you just saw. You're going to turn it around and write a really positive, happy sound. And it was so fun to be able to do that and to see it and view it, and it came out great. So yeah, there's a lot of power in there. It's all connected, the color spectrum, the sound spectrum, you know, it's all happening, the molecular, micro, macro. Yeah
Let's and taking and taking the negative and making it positive, which is what you were saying, making lemonade out of lemon. I think that childhood task should work into the adult realm as well, right?
Yeah, aren't those all the old, some of these old cliches that are just have so much life and intelligence to them, like the harder you work, the luckier you get, and stuff like that.
And as a musician, I mean, you had to augment as being a school teacher and doing other work, but you've
that
remained
was such,
true.
You know, my love of education and kids is just so strong. I mean, I the two things intertwined so well together. It was just a beautiful. I've had a really lucky fortune. I'm a lucky guy.
Yeah.
You know, the first song on this album, which we're not going to hear, is called Great to Be Grateful. And it was easy to write for me because I've, you know, everyone has their ups and downs in life. It hasn't all been, you know, Golden Roads and Buddha Butter, but
Yeah. Butter.
But I love my life, and I am very thankful for what it is.
And you came. We were talking about farming before.
This
was a whole connection with Jimmy Carter that initially got us connected.
Jimmy Carter, he was my hero from the word go. You know, being a farmer and coming from the farm and seeing that a farmer with some common sense could actually rise to the levels of power was just like a miracle thing to happen. And when he started making so much common sense with trying to have energy independence away from the first OPEC crisis and using solar panels and having so much humanity in his heart and making elections be fair around the world and, you know, not going for the base of what the worst parts of human beings are and holding that in check so that we weren't, what a wonderful man. And
right.
He and his wife, you know, the two of them together are a fine example of an integrated yin and yang that walk their talk. And I couldn't be, you know, total hero.
Yeah. It's great to hear that, because I think more and more people are coming around and saying that. It's like Jimmy Carter went away from the American psyche for how many, 30 years?
He got a bad rap.
He did, which
total
was not
bad
true.
Rap. No, absolutely
it
not warranted at all.
Lie.
Well, gee, you don't see much of that going on. Complete lies? Come on, there's not much of that going on.
You just begin to understand how manipulating information can be and how it can really penetrate a culture, and how when you come out of that manipulation and propaganda, you go, whoa, back to the people,
how,
back to the musicians, I say.
And how delicate it is to persuades maybe too strong or enlighten or discuss or have an open conversation with somebody, and how easy it is for, especially with mental imaging now, brain imaging, we know that direct facts aren't really the thing that persuade people. You know, being able to lure people in with positiveness is the only way you're really going to bring people around to something. So,
well, there's that saying, another saying, right? Cliche of people like to go where it's good.
Yeah.
Right? Which, if you know that, you can actually make that work in your favor.
You have to get the right. It's like Taj Mahal said, you know, any fish will bite if you got good bait. Here's a little story I would like to relate.
It's interesting. I was having this conversation about information and feelings, people, you know, and two components that make us human, right? And feelings are often shut down as being weak and
comfortably numb,
right? And but that's what also connects us at being human. I mean, we all have different capacities of dealing with information, but feelings—that's what unites us. And boy, you can get those feelings through music and feeling alive, feeling love. I mean, we've had enough of the hate and anger. I mean, I think we really need to put that aside. Not that maybe that can get us to the light. You know, the darkness gets you to the light. Or as I like to say, is once you hit the bottom, that's your springboard, and let's use it to all rise together.
Well, the thing about writing music and being mainly a songwriter is how I see myself is really in heroes. I could name, you know, millions of heroes. I could just go down the line of fantastic songwriters, you know, Joe Jackson and Joni Mitchell and the Beatles, of course, and the Stones and all the jazz cats and all the black classical music people, you know, Ellington, Basie, et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of times for me, when I write my best things, and I'm saying my, like I own it, it's like one big part of me steps aside, and a rhythm or a motif or a melody or a reason or something for it to exist is totally aside from me personally or my ego. And a lot of times that's when that, so when we discuss things with people, if we can keep that universal connection, like you were saying, feelings connects us, you know, we all, mortality connects us, all the things, sexuality connects us. If we can kind of keep that in our forefront a little bit, sometimes it helps us to communicate,
yeah.
You know, without going to like right, wrong, left, right kind of, you know.
Yeah, having a little bit more compassion, listening to one another.
And we have to apply that same thing to ourselves and love ourselves in the same way with our little internal voices, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and loving ourselves. I mean, you keep hearing that over and over again. And what's happened to us? Why have we stopped loving ourselves? And sometimes I wonder if it's because we were told over and over again of what to be and how to be.
Unreasonable expectations.
Right. Right? What's this whole idea of perfection? I'd really love to know. I love being messy and raw. It's so much more real.
Go for it.
And humor. You got to have humor.
And a connection to nature. Come on. Nature is messy.
Right.
So just, you know, the biological imperative is going to save us all, because it will open a lot of people's eyes. The biological imperative is like, okay, look, too many people, less population. You know, global warming or climate change, you know, refugees and all kinds of horrible stuff. So, you know, Mother Nature and the biological imperative is the best instructor. I used to always tell my students that, you know, they say, oh, Randall, you're the best teacher, you're the best teacher. I said, maybe second best, but nature's the best teacher.
Yeah.
So that's the lesson for, you know, human beings are still kind of going to have to go back to that. Going to have to go back to, like, the obvious common sense of, you know, these artifices and strange patterns of politics really aren't really, what are we gaining from this? So let's have a look at that.
Yeah.
But clean water, clean air, yeah, that's a gain. That's a commonality.
It is, and it's, we have to take that responsibility, and really as people, right? I mean, that's our power.
That's loving ourselves.
That's loving ourselves and trusting. I mean, what has happened to trust? You know, we really need to bring that back, from people to people.
Well, you can see what happened to trust. It, you know, if you've been watching the Ken Burns Vietnam series lately, this week, if anybody's got the spine for it, it's like, takes a lot, especially for people who've lived through it, and you see how duplicitous, is that a word? Yeah, that the government was to people, and the horrendous sacrifice that people went through, and the country in general. It's like, no wonder people don't trust. No wonder they're cynical people. And it's easy to see why.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not a little bit disgusted at what's going on now, then you really are not paying attention.
Yeah.
So the resist is important.
I was thinking of this. I'm going to ask you because you're such a thinker here. You are. I mean, that was what it was like. God, thank you for another human being. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm the best thinker or anything, but it's really difficult to sit down and have conversations. And we had this great conversation on the phone where we just randomly met each other on Facebook, and there was this commonality about an event, and it was like, okay. And then you start talking. It's like, okay, you are a thinker. You're sharing ideas, and you're sharing the good energy with others. And it's to have conversations versus the whole Twitter, whatever, what is that thing called?
I don't know.
Okay, tweeting? That thing?
Yeah, well, you're talking to someone who does not own a cell phone.
Oh, I love it even more.
So I'm
more.
A little bit of a Fred Flintstone kind of Neanderthal sort of anachronistic
and
sort of person.
I thought I was a rebel with the flip phone. You're more of a rebel.
I'm not anti-technology, though, because I use Pro Tools in the studio, and I use Photoshop in some of my art, and, you know, it can serve great. I mean, look at the advances. Technology is one of the most hopeful, optimistic things that we have going. Look what the Netherlands is doing with their farming. Look what so many countries now, you know, are switching to better energy sources. I mean, there's a lot of potential to cut the waste and cut the pollution and really pull this off. We're not sunk yet.
No, we're not. We're still alive. That's
even though I don't have a cell phone, when people need it and they use it, I'm not down on it. When they drive down the road swerving at me, I'm down on it.
There you go. Well, and I think with all things, it's really to also ask the question of what does it make to make the cell phone, right? We're really alienating ourselves from...
How many people don't know about coal tin and rare earths and, you know, child soldiers and all that? People just are not informed. And it's like, you know, Apple 10, Apple 12, Apple 13, you know, and people are suffering over it.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, on so many of the things that we just take for granted, we don't stop and think, where does this come from? What does it take to make this? Who suffered for it? Who got ripped off? I mean, and there's a whole line of that, even with our food sources, right?
I like when, speaking of food sources, one person who's a hero is Thich Nhat Hanh, the Vietnamese peace warrior and great author, has great sense of humor, great storyteller. And part of his mindfulness is just what you just said. It says, when you're eating an apple, or you're eating a pear, or, you know, what, a sandwich, whatever, and say, well, gee, you know, what about the hardworking farmer who grew this? What about the microorganism? What about the sun? If you can just slightly, and with a half smile on your face, expand your brain to say, like, wow, the miracle of what I'm doing, eating, and it kind of seeps in. After a while, it gets to be a habit.
Yeah.
Just like writing songs or playing music or farming or whatever. At people who have exercise regimens, and they stretch... You're just stretching another muscle.
How about hearing some more music?
Oh, no way.
We got a lot to
talk
about.
Still allowed.
We're going to keep talking for sure.
It's still allowed.
Yeah, but I want to hear some more because this is really beautiful. Okay, so you have another one. Well, we were talking about the Latin Film Festival. This one's called Latin Fuse.
Yep.
Tell me a little bit about this.
Oh, I love world music.
Yeah.
And I think I have to give Eddie Palmieri a little credit for this, because about a week before I wrote this, I went to see him live. I'm not making any comparisons, but man, he smokes.
Nice, nice. Okay, this is Latin Fuse, and we'll be back. You're listening to 102.3 FM, Take Back Radio. Online, we are radio.dominican.edu, and we'll be back right after Latin Fuse in a moment.
That's not it.
That wasn't it. Here we go. Again. We'll be right back. amazing and amazing. Amazing.
Thanks.
Amazing. Yeah. Beautiful.
We had a blast.
What am I doing sitting here in a studio? I want to be like somewhere dressed up and with people dancing. I mean, why
celebrate
not?
Celebrate life. Celebrate life.
That's how you got to do it, right? You
got to
celebrate. We're alive.
It's a miracle.
And you know, that's the thing that people, so many moments get overshadowed by the mundane things and the cultural pressures and the expectations and all that, but really just every breath in and out and the fact that we're here and the water running, rain, wind, God, look at each other's eyes and wow, this is a miracle.
Yes.
And so it's a good thing to not lose track of.
Right. And being together with random people where you can just all connect on a singular level, and that is dancing and listening to great music.
And where we live, right? It's like we are in the top echelon of musicians, artists, intelligent people, philosophers. We're so fortunate, and there's a lot of people around here are just absolutely stimulating. I do a lot of different kinds of gigs, and I do these solo gigs at Hop Monk in the backyard, and there'll be like people, European tourists and local farm workers and local rock and rollers and bicycle riders and pot growers, and everybody just mixes together.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful. It's like I just did a gig for a farmer's market, and it was the same thing. Such a diversity of people, everybody bringing such a good spirit and a positive outlook. It was like, I got, it was all misty-eyed. I'm like, wow, little kids and playing music and it's nice to get paid too. That was cool. And just to have interaction with such great people. We're so fortunate.
Yeah. Yeah. What made you do this? I mean, how'd you
do
get
what?
In music, get involved in music and get where you are? And you came from a farm, right?
Yeah. Both my parents really loved music. And then, really, like you said before, in the time when I've, it's easy for me to tell you my chronology because 64, fourth grade, 65, fifth grade, 56. So as my Alzheimer's gets more, difficult, I'm going to rely on that.
Yeah.
So, if you think of 68, eighth grade, and music was such a, a potent force in the world, less commercialized and more culture and celebratory than now, I think things are much different, at least in our country, in capitalist countries. I mean, I'm sure you could go to Papua New Guinea or some place that, one of the rare places I haven't been, and there's people that are still using it ritualistically and like that. But at the time, so that can persuade you when you see the power of music, as a eighth grade kid seeing what people are doing, dancing and being free.
Yeah.
I wasn't so far away. I was born in California, and so the Bay Area was pretty close by to where I grew up in the San Joaquin Valley. And to see people, dancing and letting their hair down and wearing different clothes and just being free, it's like, wow, what could be better? Yeah. It just looked great. Indian food and Indian music and different styles and African rhythms, and it just seemed like, okay, now we're going to do it. We're going to combine all the different people around the world and make a team.
It's
like Stevie Wonder says, teamwork makes the dream work.
Ooh, I like that.
Thank you.
Told this story before, but I'm just reminded of this pivotal time in my own childhood when I was a teenager. Actually, I was a teenager working for an independent music store, Record Factory. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
It was around here in the Bay Area, different stores, and I loved world music. That's where I got tapped into the world music. But they were the albums on the side, right? They were the big money makers, but they were there, and they're the imports, the independent labels, and that was, I would call it, a sacred corner for the people who really loved music and really wanted to dig deeper into who's who and where's the music coming from and be inspired. And then when the Record Factory got bought out by a corporation called Warehouse, the Warehouse Records and Tapes, we had to, and I did physically, have to remove all those world musicians from the store unless they were big money makers. That was the beginning, really.
Did they go in the trunk of your car? Or?
I wish they did. I remember that visceral feeling of turning my back on some of my favorite musicians,
right?
I mean, that was one. And it felt so wrong to me. I was, a 16-year-old kid, and we were all looking at each other. All of us, all of us kids going, this does not feel right. But, you're a kid. What do? You can't do anything. You have no power. But, you know, I think that's part of my reason for even having more world musicians on right now. It's the importance of that and how we lost so much music of the independent voices. And there's been very little room to get those independent music voices out there.
Well, when people like Paul Simon bring in, you know, Graceland and African musicians, or Ry Cooder brings in Buena Vista Social Club and puts a spotlight on Cuban music, and there are, you know, George Harrison influential in bringing Ravi Shankar to light. Those things are in time. If you think of the changes of how much we're now more open to that, you know, I have friends who were in the Peace Corps who brought back records from Ghana that I listened to, you know, stuff like that. So, and when I was still a very young sprout and people were all in like, oh, look, this is the latest Beatles thing and this is the latest Stones thing. And I started to hear kind of a little bit of the blues. And I said, well, they must have gotten it from somewhere. And the same thing with us. We need to go back to the source of music and work our way both forward and backwards. So people are all listening to Grand Funk Railroad and I'm going like, hey, Muddy Waters, you know, and they're listening to like Inagata the Vida. And I said, yeah, but have you heard of Robert Johnson? Mm-hmm. And so I made it a point to like go back and do my homework, you know? So when you start having, you know, Little Walter and, you know, and then he just keep working back through the Jazz Cats, you know, through the New Orleans influence and through all the different cultures that America's melting pot really has so much going on for it, you know?
So true. And maybe I wonder if we could meditate on what good music is. I mean, and not to judge anyone or anything, but the idea that, you know, if it's on the radio and radio only, then that's what makes it good. I mean, to escape from this concept, in order for it to be successful music, it has to be such a big money maker. It has to be played on the radio. Just listen to your own community.
When people love themselves and they trust their own judgment and their own intuition and they're connected with a bigger source, they won't be so susceptible to the Goebbels kind of, you know, mind control Orwellian machine that's out there every second of the day telling you how to look, what color to buy, what you need, a new car, you need new, buy, this is going to make you feel good, chase all these desires. So when you love yourself and you feel a little more confident in that, you'll be more strong in your own opinions and in your own resources, I think.
That's a good way to look at
it. You have to be a bit of a rebel. You know, you don't want to be closed down to all the different stuff that's available, but you do have to kind of hold your ground a little bit.
You got to trust yourself.
You have to trust
yourself.
Really,
the trust isn't just about each other. It's about yourself and trusting your gut feeling, trusting your feelings.
And knowing that the motives of the person trying to cram some stuff down your throat, it isn't, they're not trying to be nice to you or educate you or treat you to something new or enlighten you. They're trying to get your credit card number.
Yeah.
So if you can,
there's a lot of that,
you know, that up front, you know, you gives you a little power to say, no, I don't think so.
Well, and I wonder if that's part of this suspicion. I mean, there's this deep-seated suspicion we have of everybody right now. Like, okay, what's your ulterior motive? You know, is it, you know, money? Is it this or that? And I think some of that story has played into musicians or anybody who's good because you think, oh, they're getting a little something too much out of this, rather than looking at what they're doing and how much they're putting into it of their own time, their own spirit. And musicians, what I love about musicians, I mean, all artists really, but you're sharing your spirit.
Well, I think that, you know, it goes back to education and children too, because people often will say, well, you know, Randall, what are you going to do about it? I said, well, if you let me be Emperor of Earth for about, you know, 6 months, I will install something such that, you know, the money will be going toward children and culture and stuff. And if you teach children values clarification and peaceful conflict resolution in preschool and kindergarten, and then those people are in 20 years, 25 years, are going to be the controlling people. So if you start at the bottom and let it filter to the top, culture can be changed. And we see it, like what I said, the 60s and the Cultural Revolution, it has immensely changed the country. I mean, listen to the language, look at the styles, look at the rainbow of people that are now in places of power to discuss and interview and on TV. And so, I'm very hopeful that that's going to be the case.
And I wonder otherwise,
it's going to be, you're going to have a bunch of people like Idiocracy, where you go to a concert and someone plays a fantastic solo, everybody yawns. They set off a smoke bomb and everybody, you know, goes crazy. Mm-hmm. Because they think that's the signal. Now's my chance to go crazy.
And the other part of it, too, is we have to walk the talk, a lot like Carter, right?
Yeah,
it's not
man.
Just about teaching and telling other people what to do, but it's also about showing them, because I think kids are smart in that way.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, yeah, I got two kids. Like, I could tell them what to do all the time, but they turn it right back on me and they say, well, Mom, you're not doing it. Well, like, I go, ugh. You know, it's so much easier
well,
to tell
good,
somebody,
that's
right?
It's a good thing to have those eyes watching you because
it
that's little angels on your shoulder.
Yep.
This, for example, like, it's simple. It's no big deal. I'm not trying to glorify my actions, but I'm really pretty good at walking my talk. So
good.
When I went in Monday to my girlfriend's kindergarten class, and she teaches at a sort of disadvantaged all Latino kindergarten class, and I took in a big box of, you know, fruit, pears and apples, and the kids, that's the message, like, look kids, this is you know, share the abundance. So that's, if people can just get that going as a habit, and that's your yoga exercise for today.
Well, we were just talking about sharing and how that cultivates something positive, and giving, and when you giving and sharing, it like creates a bigger world, and you were saying it makes you feel better, for sure. Yeah. And what's interesting about giving and sharing, which is very counter to what I believe we've been taught in this past generation.
Capitalism is not a very...
No. It's about taking. It's about getting the best that you can get for whatever you can get. And when you take, it kind of stops with you. But when you share and you give, it creates. It's like being a creator.
Okay. Well, just for example, okay, Jimmy Carter, Habitat for Humanity, volunteering his time to make free and fair elections around the world. Compared to Make America First, Mr. I don't want to bring up Voldemort's
name
right now.
Voldemort,
he who should not be mentioned.
Yep.
But I mean, those are two very polarized attitudes about how to live.
Yeah.
And so the more Jimmy Carter attitude we can have, and that's just such an important lesson. And talk about walking your talk and sharing. I mean, my gosh.
Yeah, and it's those people who have shared, whether it was their spirit, whether it's their money, it cultivates such a richness in other people's
lives. And there's
lives.
A lot of it going on. You can
there is.
You can look at the negative thing and think, oh, it's all bad. But like I played at a set-in with my friend the Pulsators the other day. They were doing a concert for this organization that it kind of is like Habitat for Humanity, but only on the inside of houses. Mm-hmm. So when people are disabled, they go in and help people like put ramps in or put big double doors so a wheelchair can go through or, you know, do stuff like that. And so those things are constantly going on. There are a lot of really good works in the motion. I mean, everybody who's rich isn't evil. I mean, look at Bill and Melinda Gates. I mean, look at Warren Buffett. I mean, they're just doing amazing things with their money. And
well, I could go into that. You know,
no one's perfect.
Yeah, and I'm just going to say it because, you know, there's a little form of double dipping in that realm. You know,
yeah, well,
in order to be a good businessman, you got to make some pretty hardcore deals. And, you know, you got to come out, you got to be honest. Yeah, they are giving their money. Okay, fine. But I'm going to ask, how did they get their money?
Well,
and
you could ask how everybody in America got their money.
Yeah.
I mean, it took a lot of slavery and genocide to make the rich people rich in this country. And until we're able to look at that and kind of like appreciate the mistakes of the past, it's going to be harder to take, you know, solid, righteous steps in the future. So
and it's really hard to even point fingers at this stage because we're all kind of mixed up in the shadows, right? I mean, I drove a car here. It's like, I know what cars do, and yet I drove a car here
exactly.
to the studio. We're all mixed up in it. We're all in a system that's not helping us.
I saw
really
an interesting
good.
Short film the other day called Joaquin Marietta where this Latino guy wanted to go back and find out what happened when Colorado and Oregon and California and Arizona and Texas were stolen back from the Mexicans, and he was feeling all righteous that his family got their land taken away. And when he went to go check in history, he found that his family had taken their land originally from the Tejano Indians. And so his whole righteousness just got blown away. And, you know, like you said, it's where does it stop? You know, at what
it's
point?
Good to be humble, isn't it?
It's good to be humble.
And you know, really, so I do a lot of work with them and know a lot of people in the Guatemalan community here in Marin County who, you know, they're the service workers, house cleaners,
right.
Making 10 to 12 bucks an hour, dealing with horrendous issues. I know this one house cleaner, her eyes were all swollen yesterday because she was cleaning a house that was filthy dirty. They had all these animals. It was totally disgusting. And she came home, her eyes were all red from dealing with, she's got animal allergies. She had two kids to deal with. She's making 12 bucks an hour, and this person wanted their house clean, right? She doesn't complain. She's making $20,000 a year, yet you know what she does all the time? She gives. She makes tamales for other people in order to raise money for families who can't, you know, afford money. This woman gives on such a high level when she has barely anything, and it makes me reshape my thoughts about people who don't have a lot of money and how we've gotten this idea in our head that they're bad people. You know, there's this idea of if you don't have money, there's something wrong with you in this American culture.
Like Woody Guthrie said, California, you won't find it such a Garden of Eden if you don't have the do-re-mi. Mm. He was really writing a great songwriter.
Right.
Well, you know, from my own philanthropic tendencies or leanings, I can thank my parents. And so, once again, I'm going to go back to parents and children, you know, and especially, and women. Women have so much, you know, we've got to really look at this huge, huge portion of population which is being underutilized in women and, you know, held down around the world, because that's why those micro women loans make such a difference. That's why reproductive education makes such a big difference in people's lives. But I'm going to thank my mom for that, because she always, you know, we had a farm. We were not rich. We worked our butts off. We were not rich at all. A small farm. My mom was born in a chicken coop, you know, from the Azores in 1929 in the height of the Depression.
Wow.
Like she used to say, boy, wasn't I a happy package for them. But she never stopped giving to, like, the Mexican workers. They were mostly Mexicans who worked around us. My dad would always take out, you know, water and treat the people with major respect. So that's where I got it.
Respect.
Respect.
We need to get that back.
Because, like my mom
culture.
Used to say, there but for the grace of God goes you. And as soon as you lose that perspective, you think that you're entitled. You're screwed.
Yeah.
Because it's not the case. Anybody can wake up any morning with a lump in the wrong place.
Isn't that true? And I just love what you said about your mother, and that's making me reflect on my mother right now. And, you know, so many times we shoot our own parents down for our own failures, right?
Right.
A lot of people do that. And there's major mother, I'm a mother, there's major mother abuse going on out there. And I'm just going to take a moment to say how much I respect and I love my own parents, and really maybe taking, you know, more than one day a year for Mother's Day or Father's Day to really let our parents, our own parents, know how much we value them giving us life.
Well, that kind of ancestral respect that many cultures still have gets a little bit lost. You know, we don't have two and three generations living together anymore and depending on each other. So it's easy to get everything compartmentalized. But,
yeah.
Let's hear it for moms. I'm all about that.
And dads. I'm not going to let the dads
too,
out,
yeah.
too. I mean, just anyone in your, you know, around you
well,
who's
goes,
helped you, right?
Just being mindful of how things work and, the, you know, the difficulty it is just to be a human being on this planet. And cutting them some slack. Everybody does the best they can. So there's going to be some boo-boos, you know. And we're human.
So that's the most important. Tell me, Randall, what's coming up for you? What kind of gigs are you playing? Where are you playing?
The next full... I'm doing quite a few little solo gigs I won't go into. They're always fun, and I can... You know, it's easy and fun and makes money and blah, blah. But the next band gig that you should go see is in Pingrove, California, Sonoma County. It's October 21st. It's at this really cool place called the Twin Oaks Roadhouse. It has a history of its own in Pingrove. So October 21st, the Dream Farmers at the Twin Oaks Roadhouse. And I think it's going to be fun. It's my bass player's birthday celebration. So we're going to have some guest players and have some horn players. And I've been working with a new lady singer who really helps me a lot, Amanda Kirkland Atterbury. And she played with us. We just did a concert for Sonoma County Peace and Justice Center in Cotati, which was a blast, and she sang with us. When I looked back at the video, I was like, oh, thank God, vocal fortitude helped me out here. It was really nice.
And your website is?
It's www.dreamfarmers.com.
Nice.
It's pretty easy.
Really great having you here on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We're gonna listen to some more of your music, Be Kind, which we'll play in just a moment. I just wanted to, a couple of shout-outs here for Alejandro Palacios, who joined us earlier in the show, and to check out the Latino Film Festival here in Marin County. If you Google Latino Film Festival San Rafael, you'll find that. And then Randall Sequeira. Did I get that
good
right?
Good job.
I got it right.
And thanks
yes.
for all you do, Barbara. Thanks for all
wow.
you do. And just, you know, there's a lot of people who are not in the limelight or have no spotlight shine on them, like your friend, the Guatemalan lady who gives back.
Yeah.
And just keep in mind, just because you're not hearing about it, being bombarded with this famous person or this major person or this rich person, there's a lot of people out there pulling the weight of being human.
Well, and you're sharing it with your music and your
spirit.
I'm
a lucky guy.
Well, we're lucky to have you sharing it
right
here today. I really feel grateful, and thank you so much for being here. So this piece is called Be Kind.
Yeah.
Be Kind, and one more thing. Jimmy Carter Jamboree 2017 starts on Sunday. Please check out the website, www.JimmyCarterJamboree2017.com. There is a lineup of activities next week, and it's time to really celebrate the good spirit that he shared with us. And one of those was to be kind. So I think your music right now is going to set the tone.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks so much, Randall. And here we go. See you next week on Take Back.
Ciao. Thank you.
you're on the couch, blowing up my phone. You don't wanna come out, but you don't wanna be alone.